Warning, this show contains childish adult content and is intended for immature, mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views spoken are ours and ours alone, not those of any other bugger. If you're easily offended, we strongly suggest finding another podcast. Everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
Hello and welcome back to the first episode of Disaster Dark for April 2024. I'm your host, P-Dubs, and joining me, as always, is Craig.
Yeah, I am.
And Mr. D.
Happy summer.
Happy summer, yeah. Yeah, it is. We're in daylight summertime, aren't we?
We are.
So, yeah, interesting. Interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
Really not. So we're going to do a little news segment, because there's quite a lot of news to cover from the last few days. And also we're going to head to the newest resort at Walt Disney World, the Riviera Far Eat It segment, at the end. But before we kick off the news, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, what is everybody drinking?
Well, go for it, Greg. I have had an hard day's decorating on my week's holiday, I might add. So, I'm having Cruz Campo from Seville.
Oh, nice.
Brewed in Birmingham, no doubt. But hey-ho.
Probably. Yeah. Mm.
Mr. D, how about you?
I got a brandy and Coke.
Oh.
Yes. Leftover brandy from the Christmas cake. You can't beat it. I mean, it's, you know, that's... So just a top tip, if you're going to make a Christmas cake, you probably need, I don't know, a couple of hundred milliliters of brandy for the Christmas cake. Buy a liter, right? There's profit in it after Christmas.
You literally sound like you live in the Archers.
Yeah.
They make Christmas cake. I've never listened
to the Archers, so I don't know.
Oh, it's never too late, mate.
Yeah.
They've got a Scotsman in the Archers.
Yeah.
Oh, are you? Yeah,
I think that would complete my journey into decrepit land.
No, mate, I've been listening for 10 years. When I had the big podcast fallout about 12 years ago and didn't speak to anyone for a year, I'd listen to the Archers instead. It's boss meat, and I just stayed on it. Jazza the Scotsman.
So I'm the boring one tonight. I have got a can of 7-Up Zero.
Go and get a vodka and put it in it. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Said I don't have alcohol in the house.
Send your Judy out now to the Cowie before it shuts.
She's in bed.
Oh, send the little fella with a letter off his nan.
He's in bed as well.
Oh, have you got a robot?
Yeah, I borrowed one from the Aventura. That's for the other show, isn't it? but kicking off, as I said, we are going to look at some news because there have been some big news over the last couple of days. Who wants to kick us off?
I can kick us off if you like.
Yeah.
The one that sort of caught my eye was the DeSantos Disney lawsuit has been dropped. They've come to a settlement. They're both saying, DeSantos and Iger are both saying it's a win-win. I think it's probably good news.
I did watch a video today about it. It's about the only news I don't know. It was a very confusing video. Who was suing who?
I think they were suing each other.
Yeah, they were suing each other, I think. Yeah, I think DeSantos started it, and then Disney matched them, I think. remember right.
Yeah, I think if I remember rightly, DeSantos was suing because Disney had managed to put something in the contract that blocked DeSantos from making any decisions.
Yeah.
Because the didn't, king, well, the king's nobody from, descendants as well.
Yeah, nobody from DeSantos's team went to any of the shareholder meetings before they took over.
No.
So Disney made some changes that he wasn't happy about. And then Disney, I think, responded by basically saying that he was basically discriminating against Disney because they hadn't agreed with his don't say gay moves.
This is what it's all about. This, it all stems from that, really. But so my understanding of Reedy Creek was that Reedy Creek, which was Disney, they did everything. They did their own plans, submitted their own plans, but they maintained all the roads, the infrastructure, and everything.
So they
saved the Florida taxpayer money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the new? Because it's got a new name, hasn't it? It's not Reedy Creek anymore. It's got a big stupid name.
Oversight, Central Florida Oversight Committee, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think they still avoided the tax bill. So I think it's going to be an uneasy partnership. But it sounds like DeSantos has put in a couple of new people that have got a bit more relevant experience recently. So I think they're kind of, rather than it being a political thing, I think it's moving to be in more of a kind of uneasy working relationship.
Yeah, and from DeSantis's press conference afterwards, he pretty much went, we know how much Disney is going to make us. We know Universal are fighting back, but we believe Disney will still fight back even more. Was pretty much what I got from it.
He literally told them to put a fifth gate in.
Yeah, literally. And literally, I think that's what's coming. And I think that's why Disney have backed down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to make it easy for them. Yeah. Or easier.
Wouldn't it have been easy anyway in the Reedy Creek district if...
Yeah, you know, it would have been if the Florida government hadn't put their nose in it.
Yeah.
It wasn't Disney's choice to dissolve Reedy Creek.
Oh no, they didn't. They didn't want to.
No,
absolutely, and that's why they, before Reedy Creek took over, they passed some motions, basically kind of locking in the plan.
Yeah.
So that for a certain amount of time, so that basically they frustrated DeSantos's moves. He had all these powers that he was going to exercise, and basically Disney worked a blinder and said, "Just we're going to adopt this plan, and this is what it's going to be for a certain number of years." And then when that came to light, DeSantos was raging about it. So it damaged his presidential campaign, because DeSantos obviously was hoping to be the candidate. And even Trump had a go at him about getting beat by the mouse. But then also Disney now want it to be gone because they've got all this shareholder stuff coming up, and they really don't want to be fighting this battle during that or being criticised.
Well, yeah, well, I suppose that
exposure.
That leads us on to the next story, that today the shareholder vote went ahead and Iger won.
Mm-hmm.
Massively, by all accounts, that Iger won 90% of the votes.
So they're cloning them now?
No. For anybody that doesn't know, Nelson Peltz, Jay Rasulu, and Ike Perlmutter wanted at least two seats on the board. So people that don't know, Nelson Peltz, you would know his son-in-law, Moore, which is Brooklyn Beckham.
Oh.
Very, very strange thing. Brooklyn's married to his daughter. Has no idea about movie studios, theme parks, or anything. Part of a hedge fund, basically, that have got shares in Disney. But because they don't know what they're doing, have had no say on the board. And that's what he wanted. Joe Rasulu, former chief financial officer of the Disney company, was lined up to be Iger's replacement at one stage and was fired after he didn't prove himself. And Ike Perlmutter, former head of Marvel Studios, ancient, has no idea what he's doing, questioned as to why Black Panther had a fully black cast, also questioned why the Marvels was completely female-led during this process, and completely ruined any chance they ever had of getting on the board.
Why is there four people in Fantastic Four?
Yeah, basically. That's basically what it is. What's hilarious is Black Panther doesn't have a full black cast. One of its leads is as British as they come.
Yeah. So he's really watched that movie and knows
They pretty much said that all three of them had absolutely no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So by all accounts, Iger beat Peltz 2-1 for every vote that he got. Iger got two. Joe Rasulu apparently was beaten about 9-1 on his vote to get on the board. Just a complete and utter joke that they even tried it. I've seen Twitter over the last couple of days. Some people were supporting him, mainly because they don't support Iger. But clearly, they were one of very few.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what direction you're coming from. I mean, we're looking at it from a pretty specific point of view as theme park fans. If you're an investor, a Disney shareholder, a movie fan, you know, I mean, I know we're movie fans as well, but you might look at it quite differently. And the idea of people like that coming in just scares the bejesus. You know, it just,
yeah,
it's a company that it's pretty much a unique company, really. And we take it for granted that it's always going to be like that. But there's been times in its past, fairly recent past, where, you know, there's been the potential for it to be broken up. And just think about that, you know, separating the movies and the intellectual property from the theme parks. Now, maybe there's deals that can be done and things like that, but it just is, it's not good. It's not good if you're a theme park fan, for sure. So,
especially the likes of yourself. I mean, you are super Disney in the fact that you're into everything Disney, and then you own property, you know, and the DVC, you could sell your DVC now probably and make money on it. And it's one of the most unique things out there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as your contract winds down, the value seems to go up. It's amazing.
And
the thought of breaking all this up and stuff going south just doesn't bear thinking about.
No,
it definitely was. And that's what they were going to look to do.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it'd only be two seats on the board, which is a lot. But then, considering the amount of backing that Iger had got, from their biggest shareholder, for anybody that doesn't know who Disney's biggest shareholder is now, it's George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Yep. As part of his deal to sell Lucasfilm, he became the biggest shareholder in the company. Mm-hmm. And is now the richest entertainment-based person in the world. I think they've announced he's worth about $5.5 billion.
Yeah.
Backing Iger.
Well, good.
What about the Apple person? It was his wife.
Yeah, it was his wife. And I don't know what's happened, why she's not the biggest shareholder anymore, but whether she'd sold some of it off.
Wow.
But apparently shares have gone through the roof in recent weeks. So maybe it's worked to their advantage. It for both camps, because maybe they'll, if they don't think they're going to get anywhere, they can sell it and make a profit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what happened with what was his name back in the.
Yeah, when
the day,
Roy came in and saved the day, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean he was given a payoff, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was greenwashed to just go away. These guys will probably make a killing on this as well, I would imagine.
Yeah,
and then sell it and move on to somebody else, and that's exactly why you don't want them on the board.
Definitely.
Because it's just dollars and cents. It's just spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And every time Disney's done that, every time Disney's had that sort of leadership, and in fact, it's quite timely for me because I've been watching the Imagineering story or rewatching it, as we talked about recently, Paul.
Yeah.
And I've just gone through those episodes where, you know, Roy pushed to oust Eisner and what happened when Eisner backed off and Frank Wells died and Eisner backed off and they just let the money men take over, and it was not good. You got Disney's California Adventure, you got Hong Kong, you got
Walt Disney Studios.
The second gate of Paris.
Which I don't know whether you guys have seen today, there's a possible change of name coming.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
MGM Studios. That's my vote.
Not going to be a studio anymore.
Nah, not really.
That name has to go.
Which park are we talking about here?
Disneyland Paris, second one.
Disney Studios.
Won't be called that anymore. Apparently. It'll be announced at D23.
What are we thinking? What are we feeling? What's in your heart?
I don't know. I still believe it should have something French in the name.
Yeah.
Disney's Grand French Adventure.
Well, yeah, Disney's Paris Adventure would be the one that everybody else like. It won't be, but it's not. It's not. Even the attractions don't lend themselves to the studio name anymore.
Not anymore, no. And it was only a facade anyway, really, wasn't it? Wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they're working on it at the moment, but I don't know.
That whole thing, Disneyland Paris, is the greatest theme park in the world. It's my favourite by far.
The main park is probably the prettiest park.
Yeah, but I just love the whole vibe of it. You know, when you get there, and I just love it. You know, it's breaking my heart that we're going. It's not because we're going to California next February, but. Mm-hmm. You know, for the first time ever. So, but I wish it was going to Paris.
We definitely need to go back. It's been an awful long time. It's been like 12 years, I think, since we've been there. We need to go back.
I mean, and probably nothing's changed in them 12 years. Very little. Marvel, bit of Marvel.
Marvel Ratatouille, which you've already been on.
Yeah.
That's about it. Though, if you wait until next year, you will have Arendelle.
Yeah, well, the drone show, I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, the drone show's superb. And actually, that brings us to another bit of news.
Yeah, I led you into that one, didn't I?
The segues here today.
I'll set them up, you knock them down.
Yep, Walt Disney World files permit for drone show.
But where?
Up time.
Where?
Disney Springs.
Yes, why?
Because that's the only place they can do it.
Why? For what reason?
I'm
being the prosecutor, so they don't kill somebody. That's why.
Well, we know the ones in Epcot crashed and burned.
Yeah, but Disney Springs, I guess they'll do it over water.
Yeah, they will.
It's a smaller water, isn't it? It's a smaller.
Yeah.
Mass.
So it has been filed as Disney Dreams That Saw.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of it.
Yeah.
So. Disney Dreams, obviously a Disneyland Paris name, from their nighttime show. So the show will be performed above Lake Buena Vista on the west side of Disney Springs from May the 24th to September the 2nd, 2024.
Yeah, so what's on the west side? I don't
West
know what you
side.
mean by that. So
West side.
if you are you going to watch it from the east side then? Is it on the west side and you're going to watch it from the east side, or can you still watch it from the west side? Because the east side of the lake is the Saratoga Springs side. And honestly, I when we were there last year, we were in the Animal Kingdom and I needed to get to Disney Springs, so we took a bus to Saratoga Springs, because you can't take a bus from the parks directly to Disney Springs. They don't want you doing that. So we had to take a bus to Saratoga Springs, and we walked in from Saratoga Springs at night, and it's a fantastic walk, and it's a stunning view. When Disney Springs is lit up, it's amazing. So, and there's a lot of space on that side, so that would be a great place to watch it if the viewing angles were right for that.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see just how that comes off. But isn't it interesting that they're putting it in Disney Springs? I mean, they don't, you know, they don't make any, well, they make money from it because it will draw people to Disney Springs, I guess, and people will then, you know, dine there and probably shop there and that sort of thing and drink there. But it's kind
Yeah.
of interesting, really, that they're putting in a new attraction, not in a theme park.
Yeah, and the fact that it's only running for what, 4 months,
Yeah. So
makes me think it's a test.
it must be, yeah, it's like an extended test. And
Yeah.
I wonder what the success criteria is though. Like, if we don't kill anybody, big tick, and put it in a park.
If we don't lose a drone every night.
Yeah, you gotta watch those what do you call them? Those aquacals from the boathouse. I mean, a
Yeah.
drone could take one of those out, you know what I mean? It could be the Titanic all over again.
Adam the Woo is at risk.
Bloody Jack and Rose, you know, in the middle of that lake.
Could just imagine someone floating along on the bumper of one of those cars
Yeah,
with a
yeah.
drone in the his head.
As an
Yeah.
alligator chases it.
It's genius. I mean, it's going to fill the. If you can have like viewing platforms and food carts out and drink carts, you know
Sell
it, when you're
merch.
paying
Yeah, I was going
$12,
to say merch. Yeah, $12 a
Limited time.
pint.
Yeah.
You know, the greatest I've ever had in my life was in Disney Springs, and that off a drinks cart, and that was that bloody grapefruit beer with a shot of vodka in.
What did you
You
buy it
know,
with a shot of vodka in, or did you put a shot of vodka in?
what's it called? The
The Schofferhofen, or
Paar
whatever it's called.
Schofferhofer, yeah. So the fella
Schofferhofen.
in front of me in the queue asks her for a Schofferhofer. So she gets the can out and he goes, "Can you put a shot of vodka in that for me?" So she hands him the can and says, "Take a swig out the can," which he did. And then she poured the vodka in. And then I went up and I went, "I want one of them, please." You know, genius, genius, because you're playing.
And that was $12.
No, it wasn't $12, mate. It was
No.
what it was, yeah. You know,
Yeah.
but an easy way to make money. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
it's a and the drone show in Paris is next level. It's
Yeah.
just phenomenal.
Yeah, I've
Phenomenal,
heard.
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Boop,
Do
beep,
do
beep,
do
beep.
do do. It's one of those nights, folks.
It is. We're rolling.
Any other news from you guys?
No, I never
Not
have
so
news.
much. Not so much from Disney. I mean, there's just more kind of Tiana, getting ready for Tiana. You
The,
know,
well,
there's more progress.
I listened to the Disney Dream Girls on Sunday, and they were talking about Tiana and like the animals and stuff that are in the ride and. And I'm thinking they fucking cheaped out here, mate.
They have. There's
They have.
absolutely no doubt about
That you are going to be going through Splash Mountain.
Oh yeah, I mean
No,
it
but
is Splash Mountain.
they're literally going to be reusing 80% of the stuff that was in it. All the animals, they're all.
It wouldn't surprise me because I don't. I mean, they've turned it around relatively well. Not, I don't know. Say relatively quickly. They talked about it for a long time,
In
didn't they? And
Disney
then,
terms.
yeah, nothing happened, and then all of a sudden it happened. So, I suppose they did have enough time to develop new kit, but you know, that ride's got a history. We talked about it before. You know, those animatronics that were in there when it was Splash Mountain were reused from the previous attraction. What was it called? America Sings? Or
Yeah.
And again, if you watch that Imagineering story, so I'm plugging Disney Plus here. I should get a kickback for this. You know, anybody that hasn't watched that series on Disney Plus, watch the Imagineering story. You see the animatronics in America Sings, and it's like, oh yeah, recognize that from Splash Mountain, recognize that from Splash Mountain. It'll be the same thing now for Tiana.
I mean, the boat's got to still be in there, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Different song, same boat. It's got to be.
Well, it may have a little bit of a makeover.
It'll be a fishing boat.
Yeah.
I hope not, because it was a great big paddle steamer, wasn't it?
But it'll be like...
Right.
Yeah, like a... catching prawns and crabs and stuff for the restaurant.
Don't want to go on holiday and catch crabs.
We've got a new song. It wasn't used in Tiana. It's called Zippity Doo Da. It's in the bonuses on the DVD.
It's called Catching Crabs in Florida.
Craig does. That's what Craig's doing when he's posting his pictures in the toilet.
I tell you what, right? Just before it shut, did they put lap bars on Splash Mountain?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
They did, didn't they? Because people were just getting out, weren't they?
Yeah, I think there was some incidents, so they did put lap bars on, yeah.
Yeah,
and those log plumes, again, a la the Imagineering story, those log plumes were specifically designed, the sort of profile of them and the front of them were specifically designed to make sure that you got the right amount of splashback, if for want of a better word. So they were custom built for that ride. So
back to Craig's toilets.
Yeah, so I'd imagine that they'll be somewhat the same shape, at least at the front.
Yeah. The boats are pretty much exactly the same. I don't think they've replaced them. I think all they've done is give them a new coat of paint. And I think they've put like a woodland animal on the front of them.
Yeah, they're probably taking the rabbits off and put something else on. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, I mean it's a makeover of Splash Mountain. I mean let's be honest.
I mean since the last time we recorded together, Disney Plus, we've all had our money come out for our annual fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went with the £79, which is the same as last year.
Same here. Yeah.
But I've actually downgraded myself.
Mm-hmm.
P-Dabs, yours went up.
Yeah. Mine just went up a lot.
Yeah, just because you bought a new telly.
Yep. So much so that I got rid of Paramount Plus.
Oh, shame.
And probably going to get rid of Netflix as well.
The beauty of Paramount Plus is around Thanksgiving, they'll give you a 50% discount for the year.
Yeah.
So that'll come back. But have you seen the advertising for Disney Plus like you've never seen before? So all the billboards in Liverpool have got this new style of advertising for Disney Plus. It's like half the screen it's a very clean advert. Have you seen it? I've just seen it in Liverpool tonight.
No, I've not.
Yeah, it's quite aggressive, and a lot of watching the YouTube stuff, they're pushing this Nell the Pirate thing, whatever it's called.
Yeah, and Shogun is the other one.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching Shogun right now. It is good. I mean, I watched the original Shogun and I read the book, so I'm kind of invested in it, but the new one is good. The only thing I'll say is if you watch it, stick with it for at least the first episode, probably the first two episodes, because it's got a bit of a slow build-up, but once you get into it, it's very well done.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea that Wish was out on streaming today.
Yeah,
I've just seen that now. Yeah, so I'm intrigued now because I've not watched Wish.
No, I mean, yeah.
And which doesn't that speak volumes with a Disney podcast? And we haven't watched Wish. Recommended for you on mine because I've got it up in front of me, and P-Dabs will attest to this. Escape from Planet of the Apes, Conquest of Planet of the Apes, and Battle for Planet of the Apes.
That is my fault, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Did you encourage him to watch these?
I'm watching them for another podcast at the moment. Right.
Those are the original ones, aren't they?
Yep.
The old school ones, yeah.
Yeah, it was my choice over on For the Love of a Franchise. It was my pick for which franchise we watched next, and that's what I picked. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely worse than that.
Yeah, we've watched some that are worse than that, believe me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We watched the Omen franchise.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I watched along with that one. Brilliant.
That's definitely got highs and lows.
Awful ending to a franchise.
Mm.
The devil, evil incarnate, just died. Oh, all right, yeah, sound.
What is my recommended? Let's have a look and see what they're recommending to me, because it's probably going to be the same. Let's have a look. Oh, and it's really... I haven't opened the app on my phone in ages. And it's really slow. I don't like this new colouring either. We haven't talked about that, have we? The Hulu colouring.
Hulu!
Yeah, I mean, it's like everybody's gone crazy on the internet. They're like, oh, it's green, Disney Plus is green. And I fired it up and I thought, is that it? I mean, it is literally just that first screen, really, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of bits of green instead of blue.
And I don't think
I've got no Planet of the Apes recommended to me at all.
Oh.
It's obviously picking up what I've watched previously. I've got X-Men 97, Bad Batch, Rebels, Shogun, Modern Family, Extraordinary, which I've never even heard of, Revenge of the Sith, How I Met Your Mother, which I've watched, Taylor Swift The Eras Tour, which I'm about halfway through already. Not for me, my little one asked for it. 911, Lone Star, the spin-off with Rob Lowe and Liv Tyler, Jessica Jones, and New Girl, most of which I've already watched out of them, so I don't know why they're recommending them to me. Disney Plus, your algorithm is shit.
Yeah. There was for people who like the stuff like the Imagineer story, I did have one other thing that I watched. It'd been on my watch list for ages, and I finally did it last week, and it was Frank and Ollie.
Yeah. With Steve Coogan.
No.
Oh no, but I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, I know which one. The two of the nine old men.
That's right. Yeah. So Ollie Johnson and Frank, who should
Zappa.
Know his name.
Ollie Mays and Frank Zappa.
No. Anyway, it's two of Walt Disney's original nine old men. So they're Walt Disney animators. Whoa, shit. That's it. That's the music. And didn't mean to hit that, but it's them talking and other people talking, and it's their story, but it's really kind of the Disney story as well, but told through their eyes, and it's very interesting. It's very much a blast from the past, but they're two lovely old guys, and they've got some great stories. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, Frank and Ollie and the Imagineering story, those would be mine.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I didn't mind the thing that The Rock produced. That was it was called something attractions.
Oh, Behind the Attractions?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah.
It felt like it was a little bit Imagineering story light.
Yeah, I think so.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but that's quite good. There's two seasons of that, I think. Has anybody watched The Three Body Problem yet? I haven't watched that, but I'm kind of interested in that. No, okay.
I wouldn't leave the house if I had three bodies.
That would be a problem.
That would be a problem, yeah. Yeah, so that one I'll probably watch, but
Yeah, I need to catch up. I'm trying to clear my Netflix backlog.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I've started to watch and not finished. That I'm trying to get through before I get rid of it. I just had a couple of Disneyland bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. Following on from talking about the shareholders meeting earlier, a piece of concept blue sky art was released for Avatar Way of Water at Disneyland.
Ooh.
It is a land, but that's the concept of it at the moment. It's not just an attraction. It is a land that's going to be based on the sequel to Avatar. rather than what they have at Walt Disney World. It's going to be a completely new concept at the moment. We all know how this goes. Blue sky stuff that doesn't come to fruition. Disneyland Forward is going ahead. It's going to vote with the Anaheim Council in the next week. So this will be probably part of that.
Well, fingers crossed that goes well.
Yeah. And the other bit is Autopia, getting rid of the gas guzzling cars. Either electric or at least a hybrid version. Is the plan. Let me tell you, when I was there 18 months ago, it stinks.
It does. I mean, the Florida one's the same. It just stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it stinks and it's noisy.
Yeah, exactly. In all honesty, I hate to say it, but I would scrap it as a concept. It takes up so much room. Certainly in Disneyland. It is, but at Disneyland, when you're struggling for room like they are, it's such a big footprint.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just that, I mean, I'm sure they've done their research. I'm sure they've done their market research. And I just wonder, you know, given the American love of cars, we love our cars as well. But I think in America, I think it's fair to say that, you know, America has a deeper love of cars. And for a lot of kids, that would be their very first introduction to drive a real car, you know? Yeah. So there's probably a high nostalgia, you know, parent satisfaction score coming from that angle as well. I mean, you know, we're kind of beyond that stage, I think, now, but
it's the same in Paris, though.
It's still popular.
I mean, in Paris, it was the first ride we did last year, and it was lovely because you're with your nephews and nieces, and they're steering, you've got your foot on the pedal for them. Whether it's worth that, you know, that's a different argument, because an electric car isn't a gas guzzler. It'll be a different experience.
And it Paris obviously went through a major refurb not that long ago.
But I guess the reality is changing, aren't it? Because when we grew up, it was petrol cars, that was it. Now kids are growing up, and there's quite a high proportion of electric cars on the road now. So if you did switch it to an electric car, it's not the thing it would be if you'd done that like 10 years ago. It'd be like, oh, electric cars, they're crap, you know? You can get electric cars now that go faster than petrol cars. You can buy an electric Ferrari and it's like a jet. You know what I mean? It's
I think I told you how to fix it anyway. Just put VR on it.
VR.
So you could literally drive around Disney films.
I think that's not a bad idea, but I don't know how robust the technology would be. But I definitely think, I agree with you, though, to some extent. I mean, I think whether you keep it in every park that it's in today, or whether you keep the original one in Disneyland for nostalgia reasons, you know, it does take up a lot of space.
Yeah, it truly does. The thing with the Paris one is that whole land doesn't make any sense anymore. So it's neither here nor there whether they keep theirs or not, because it will make absolutely no difference to the coherency of the land. Obviously, we know Disneyland's Tomorrowland is still very retro, much more so than Walt Disney World's. Walt Disney World's has now taken on a bit more of a futuristic look with Tron. Whereas Disneyland's is still very much the Tomorrowland that Walt built for the most part, except really for Buzz. Buzz is kind of the only one that doesn't fit there in comparison to that. I'm not sure what they do, but for now, at least they're going to make some changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a start.
Yeah.
Anything else from you, Mr. D, before we wrap the new segment up?
No.
Perfect, Craig. I know you've got nothing.
Yeah, I haven't.
I who have nothing.
So we're gonna head to the Riviera Resort, over in the Caribbean Beach Resort area, the DVC unit that was added. It's a separate resort, isn't it? We can say that.
It is. Yeah.
And we're actually going to look at their quick service offerings for this month's Eat It, Primo Piatto. It's a bit of a strange one because it hasn't got the most extensive menu,
mm-hmm.
but it serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and even does room service by the look of it, which I thought was interesting. It's got a late night dining menu. So we're just going to take whatever we want from any of the menus. So who wants to kick us off? Mr. D, I know you'd already looked at the menu.
I did. Let me just fire it back up again. I had it open on my phone. Here we go. Yeah, we visited this resort for the first time last year, and I was pretty impressed by it, really. Oh, I mean,
absolutely.
I remember that when it was being built, there was a lot of criticism of it doesn't look very themed, it doesn't look very Disney. I think to some extent that is true. I think it's less themed than, you know, some of the Disney, definitely less themed than the original Disney hotels like the Contemporary or the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian. But it is still a nice resort. It's quite a high-end resort. I mean, did you think that, Craig, or were you not impressed?
Oh, mate. You've been told, don't buy the DVC from Riviera. Don't like the Riviera. It's not a good resort. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It's absolutely phenomenal. I believe it's sort of billed as, I know it's DVC, but it's also like a moderate maybe. But I felt it was very high-end.
Mm-hmm.
We walked around and our jaws were dropping every time we walked around the corner. What an absolutely brilliant resort. Honest to God, phenomenal. Yeah. I think I'd quite happily buy DVC there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't buy resale. I don't care. I don't care that it's got limitations on it. I don't care. It's brilliant. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of space there for it to be expanded, should it need to be.
For me, and it's the reason why I like Caribbean Beach, it couldn't be any more central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's got a bit of a premium, you know, because, I mean, it, relatively speaking, you know, the point chart is a little bit on the pricey side compared to some other resorts, but I think Disney have positioned it that deliberately because it's on the Skyliner, basically. It's the Skyliner hub.
We went up to the bar, restaurant, mm-hmm. which I can't remember the name of. You'll know it. Topolino's, is it?
No, that's right. Topolino's Terrace, yeah.
And we sat on this big, big long table adjacent to the bar area. And we were able to watch the fireworks out the window of whatever, I think it was Epcot, that we could see while people were eating their food and everything like that. And, you know, I think I did the whiskey flight on the night and ended up half pissed, basically. But what a place. Oh,
yeah.
Take me money. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we took a wander around it. We got off the... I think the first time we got off the Skyliner from the studios and we took a wander around it and we had a coffee in the little coffee shop downstairs, had a good look around. We went up to the bar. We didn't have anything in there. We just had a look. We did have a look around this quick service, the Primo Piatto that we're going to talk about in a minute. And then later in the holiday, Heather, my youngest, and her boyfriend Nick, they went to Topolino's and they had an evening meal there. So that's not characters, it's quite a posh high-end evening meal. We saw, you know, we saw the photographs and it, they said it was great, the food was great, service was great, you've got fantastic views. They took, there's a terrace, you can walk outside onto the terrace and the sun was setting, so they've got some fantastic photographs of the sunset. And they had a
I think
they had a really good time.
I'm sure Phil had to borrow a shirt. I think he because we rocked up in our theme park gear, and I'm sure Phil had to borrow a shirt to go in.
Yeah.
They lent him a shirt. I'm sure they did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Oh, brilliant place. But let's get stuck in.
Okay.
I'm going late night dining menu anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gone for dinner as well. So it is a quick service, and it's a bit of a combo. From what I remember, it's a bit of a combo quick service restaurant and kind of grab and go, you know. So it sells stuff in the fridge that you can
Yeah.
take, so like a shop basically. So a little bit like a mini version of, say, like an All Stars food court, where you've got the various stations, and then you've got a kind of fridge with stuff in it, and you can buy beer, bottles of beer, cans of beer, stuff like that. But yeah, it was looked like a nice, smart enough place, but it is quick service. So for me, I am going to go, and remember, the resort is themed. It's kind of the kind of dance between, it's the French Riviera basically, which, if anybody knows the geography, that part of the French Riviera is right by Italy as well. So it's kind of the border between France and Italy on the Mediterranean coast. So there's French influences and there's Italian influences in the Riviera Resort, right? So that'll explain my choice. I'm going for the sausage and pepperoni pizza, because
Oh.
sausage and pepperoni pizza is my favorite pizza, and you can only get good sausage and pepperoni pizza in America. That's, you know, prove me wrong, but that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. I've never had a good. There's something about the sausage and pepperoni in America that's just different from what we get here. So I'm having that, and then what am I having for a drink then? I think I'm gonna have some kind of beer, because if you're having pizza, you've really got to have beer with it. So they've got quite a few different beers actually. They're mainly cans. They have got some bottles. I tell you what, I'll stick with America. I'm gonna go for a Michelob Ultra at 8.50. It's a 16-ounce bottle. So
Good.
that's what I'm kicking off with.
Okay. Craig, how about you?
Right. Well, I'm on the late night dining menu.
Ooh.
So I'm going to have the munchies. So I'm going to have a Greek salad, crispy greens, tossed with tomato, cucumber, artichokes, red onion, chickpeas, olives, feta, finished with vinaigrette dressing. $10.79. Oh, so I want to go here so bad. And I'm going to stick with one of my favorites, a Blue Moon Belgian white ale, a 16-ounce can, which is disappointing. Obviously, as Mr. D's just said, it's a bit of a shop situation. $9.75 for the can. You could probably get a box of that in Walmart for the same price.
More than
Oh,
likely.
you're not
Yeah.
wrong.
So I'm going to go different. I'm going to go with breakfast. But I
Ooh.
think you might like where I go with this. So I think I'm going to go for the Croque Madame,
Ooh.
which is classic French ham and Swiss with a fried egg served with the choice of side. That's $12.99. But what's brilliant is they still serve alcohol with breakfast,
That'll do
according
me.
to this. So that's what I'm going to go with. And I'm going to have it was a whiskey mule,
Okay.
cutwater whiskey mule,
Oof.
which is a 12-ounce can. It's black skimmer bourbon, natural ginger, hint of lime, spice, sweet, bitter, and tart at $11.50.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yep.
You're gonna
So, did we want to do desserts? Because they do sweet stuff for breakfast as well. So I can still stick, pick something
Yeah,
from that list,
I've got a
Mr. D.
dessert. Yeah, defo.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with a white chocolate cake for $39. It's a vanilla cake with white chocolate ganache and white chocolate mousse. And it feeds 4 to 6 people, and I identify as a family, so I'm having that. I'm not really. I'm gonna have the tiramisu, the classic tiramisu, because I love tiramisu. And with that now, since we're on to dessert, I am gonna have a cocktail. And anybody who knows me knows I'm a big lover of margaritas, so I'm gonna have a blue marble margarita, $11. It's a can, which isn't great, but you know, take it. It's all natural blue agave, all natural lime juice, and a touch of salt.
So very nice.
That's me. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, in honor of wifey, my wife, as Nick used to say, she did on Easter Sunday. She did a was it Good Friday? Must have been Good Friday. She did a classic tiramisu. She made one,
and nice.
She hasn't made one for a long time, but she made one, and it had amaretto in it. We had to buy a bottle of amaretto, so we've got a full bottle of amaretto there, as Mr. D said earlier, with the brandy.
Perfect.
Contains alcohol, this one, and ours did, because we doubled up. $6.79. So I'm going the same, unfortunately. But then, drinks. I'm going to go with the wine, and I'm going to get a bottle of McBride Sister Chardonnay, California. Aromas of lemon, curd and honey, pineapple and ripe pear. Soft and balanced texture with a slight hint of toasted oat that balances the palate. $42. So I'm going to sit there and slowly get pissed.
What's new?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the slowly part, I think that's the new bit.
Yeah, that's the new bit.
A bottle and a straw, please, garçon.
So for my sweet item with breakfast, I'm going with the cinnamon crumble French toast bread pudding. Served with vanilla custard at $10.29.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
Don't sound good.
I think, as I say, I like to stay at the Caribbean Beach Resort. I think I would get up and walk to the Riviera to get that.
Yeah, and then walk it off back.
Yeah,
no, exactly. Get a Skyliner. Just flop onto the Skyliner.
That whole 30 seconds that you're on it.
Wake me up when I get back to Caribbean Beach. The part of animation.
Then for my drink, I'm going to go with one of the speciality coffees. I am going to have the Cafe Mocha. Handcrafted fresh pulled shot of Joffrey's coffee, 100% speciality grade Arabica beans, blended with a rich mocha and steamed milk at $4.99.
You're not making
I need my coffee
back
in the morning.
Yeah,
that'll clean the pipes out there.
Oh, well.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll
definitely
have to hang
get
around the Riviera for half an hour.
Just a belly flop into the pool. They'll never get me out. So that wraps up our Eat It from the Riviera Resort. I think, as you say, Topolino's is there, so that's another one we've got to look at in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
But for now, that wraps up this episode of Diz After Dark. Thank you, boys, for joining me as always.
Pleasure.
And we'll tease you. Somebody that we used to know will be on the next episode. Well, he should be.
He
and it's not
just,
Nick.
He's a
and it,
no.
And we'll probably have some. We'll probably have some feedback after he's been on.
That's I'm sure we'll get some Apple reviews.
Yes.
After the next episode. Sure. So, on that note, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you on the next episode.
Bye bye now.
Why? Because we like you.
Kick it.
Can't get enough. Can't get enough.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.